This is America on the Road, winner of the International Automotive Media Conference Gold Medal Award for Radio, and now in its 24th year on the air. Thanks for being with us as we bring you the latest automotive information from around the world. We have a lot of electric vehicle and SUV rumors for you today. Some new introductions to talk about this week as well. Very exciting stuff, and we'll tell you all about it. America on the Road is brought to you by Mercury Insurance and DrivingToday.com. If you're looking to save some money, you should switch to Mercury for your auto and home insurance. Californians save an average of $670 with Mercury, so imagine how much you could save. Get a quote today at MercuryInsurance.com. Hi, I'm Jack Nerad. With me is co-host Gino Effler. Thanks for being with us, Gino. Gino is the Director of Corporate Communications at J.D. Power. He is a fellow Motor Press Guild board member and a longtime friend, and I'm so happy to welcome you to the show, Gino.
Well, thank you, Jack. It's good to be here again. I like this show, and it's packed full of information, good stuff, and it's fun. So let's get going.
Yeah, well, and we want to tap into your expertise, and those are expertise in various areas. So we'll dive into that as we go through the show this week. This week, our special guest is Raghu Iyengar. He is Director of CPO and Remarketing for Volkswagen of America. And we're going to be talking about the advantage of buying a nearly new certified pre-owned car. It could be a great way to save thousands of dollars. I think, you know, what's your take on CPO cars, Gino?
CPO cars are incredibly hot right now, and a lot of manufacturers are, they've already been in a position to where they have a good functioning CPO program, but more are getting into it now. It's a combination of last year when so many production facilities were shut down and new car production was stopped for a while or came back at a very slow pace. You know, manufacturers had an opportunity to work with dealers on these certified pre-owned vehicles, vehicles coming back off lease, and they are covered by warranties. They are checked out by the dealership to a level that is consistent with the manufacturer recommendations. It is a terrific way to go, and a lot of dealers have seen their CPO activity jump significantly in the last year.
Yeah, and rightly so. And we're going to be talking with, again, Raghu Iyengar, Volkswagen, about that. I'm sure he'll be pleased to hear that endorsement from you, Gino. In the road test segment, I'll be talking about a very lengthy drive I had in an incredibly hot car. We're talking about an amazing car, the 2021 Dodge Charger SRT Hellcat Redeye. You can basically go from 0 to 60 in the time it takes you to say the name of the car, I think. So, something like
wow.
That.
Wow. It's my kind of car.
Yeah, it's super fast. And you're going to have, Gino's going to have a look at that car and competitors in its segment from a JD Power point of view. So I think that should be fascinating to all our listeners. I'm excited about that. Before we do that, though, let's take a look at some of the latest automotive news from around the globe. One of the hottest things going on this week is the introduction of an all-new vehicle from Jeep, bringing back a name that has really had a history at Jeep. We're talking about the Jeep Wagoneer. So that has just been introduced. It was just introduced yesterday as this thing drops. And we have some behind-the-scenes look at what that's going to be. It's based on the Ram 1500 pickup truck chassis, which is interesting in itself. And it's meant to compete with vehicles like the Chevrolet Tahoe, which is the 800-pound gorilla in that segment. And I think the Grand Wagoneer is going to go after the Cadillac Escalade. What's your take on all of that, Gino?
I think it's kind of exciting to bring back the name, you know, a name that a lot of people know, and but with obviously relatively significantly new styling, new design, new technology. I look at the Toyota FJ as a comparable example, Jack, of, you know, there was a model that the first time we saw it, what, the 60s, early 70s?
Right.
You know, and then it went away, and then, ooh, it came back. The name came back, and it some of the design elements harkened back to that original version but it was so new and modernized, and it a lot of Toyota enthusiasts gravitated to it, and it did pretty darn well. And I think the Wagoneer is going to do the same thing.
Yeah, well, and it makes all the sense in the world, right? I mean, we have full-size SUVs based on full-size pickup trucks from the other manufacturers, right? You have the Ford Expedition, of course, from Ford, based on the F-150, and then the Chevrolet Tahoe and the Chevrolet Suburban, the granddaddy of them all, based on the Silverado pickup truck. Ram has a great pickup truck. The Ram 1500 pickup truck scores really well, I think, in J.D. Power surveys. It's a really, really good vehicle. And so it kind of makes sense to do an SUV off that really good platform.
Absolutely. And you know, name recognition, there's a lot to be said for heritage in any brand. And you can't, it's a balancing act that manufacturers go through, because they want to portray their models as new and, you know, with the best technology and all that kind of stuff. But also they have to stay connected to their heritage. And sometimes that connection might only be through a name, but it enables them to weave that history and those positive thoughts and memories into the new products. And I think that's what they're doing here.
Right. Well, there's a lot of volume there. A lot of people are buying full-size, separate body-on-frame SUVs, of course. And then there's a lot of profit there, maybe even more so. I mean, these are very profitable vehicles on top of being popular vehicles. A lot of these vehicles are selling at well over $50,000 a pop retail. So there's a lot of margin to be had there. And I think from all that I've been able to gather, which is quite a bit, actually, I'm looking at bullet point after bullet point about the Wagoneer right here, is it's going to have all the right stuff. It's really going to, it's going to have giant touchscreen, for example, Uconnect 5, which is one of the best infotainment systems out there. Android Auto, Apple CarPlay, of course, is standard equipment, all of that, you know, all of that good stuff, big V8 engines, the potential of electrified mild hybrid engines in the vehicle. So I think it's going to really do something out there.
I think it will. I think it has great potential. It'll be interesting to see how the company focuses its marketing and advertising around this car when it comes out on sale.
Right.
Absolutely. You know, how much heritage they're going to weave into it, or its capabilities. You know, is it going to be kind of a comparison to others in the segment? It'd be fun to see where they go with it.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a featured-filled vehicle, and the Grand Wagoneer maybe more so. And again, they're kind of splitting. I think the Wagoneer is going to go against the Fords and Chevys of the world, and then the Grand Wagoneer is going to go up against the luxuries. And I guess that makes sense. You could say that the Jeep brand kind of splits the middle, right? I mean, it's not necessarily a traditional mass market brand, but at the same time, and I think at the same time, it has some luxury tinge to it. What's your thoughts on that?
I do. I think, and the more luxury they can put into it, Jack, the more I think the affluent buyer is going to jump on it. I mean, it's shocking to me. Over the last couple of years, how at J.D. Power, when we look at all the sales data, the analysis, you know, we're well past 7 out of 10 new vehicles sold each month are SUVs or trucks, right? It's still climbing, but the average transaction price of vehicles continues to climb, and so people are they're not hesitating to spend money on expensive vehicles, especially if they are vehicles that meet their needs or fulfill that emotional
the emotional connection that they have. I 100% agree with you, and it's a great segue into the next rumor, which is about the 2022 GMC Hummer. Yes, I said GMC Hummer EV SUV, which is imminent. It's probably going to be introduced over the course of the next 2 or 3 weeks, perhaps. And talk about, I just think it's so ironic and amusing that General Motors has decided to call this big EV, this giant SUV, a Hummer, because, of course, the Hummer is kind of the poster child of conspicuous consumption, and now you have an EV version that's kind of turning that on its head. I mean,
What does that tell you, Jack, about what car companies think about names and connection? They don't want to give up the name Hummer.
There's a lot of value in that brand, absolutely. Yeah. And there's a lot of name recognition. And as you well know, you've got to spend tons of money to get name recognition out of the marketplace. So GM has put together an EV toolkit. They call it the Ultium Drive system. And the Hummer EV SUV will be one of the first vehicles in the marketplace with it. It could have as much as 1,000 horsepower, 1,000 horsepower. And then the torque figure quoted for it is just absolutely staggering. It's probably not going to be effective as you would think it would be, because nobody needs 11,500 foot-pounds of torque, right? I mean, 11,000? You pull over the Empire State Building with that amount of torque.
What kind of brake system do you have to have if you get a Hummer going that fast, that quickly?
Right. You know, a lot going to happen. This vehicle will probably be priced close to $100,000. And as you were just mentioning, there seems to be no limit to the amount of money that some people will pay for vehicles these days. It used to be that $100,000 was the ragged edge, and anything above that was an exotic car, but that's certainly not the case now, right?
It isn't. It's. I think you can easily spend $50,000 to $80,000 for either a Ford top-of-the-line truck or a Chevy top-of-the-line truck. Even a Ram, it's amazing the stuff that the technology and the luxury features, convenience features that you have in those vehicles these days. You know, the leather seating, just everything. You think you are in some sort of top of the line Mercedes-Benz sedan when you climb into some of these domestic trucks. It's staggering.
Absolutely.
But the market is there. People are buying them and they're paying a premium for them.
Right. Absolutely true. And when we come back, because we have Gino Effler of J.D. Power with us, we're going to be talking about the customer service index study that is just been released. I think released yesterday, as a matter of fact. So we have Gino with us. So we're going to spend a segment on that before we get to our road test segment. So with Gino Effler, this is Jack Nerad with you. And thanks so much for being with us right here on America on the Road. Welcome back, everybody, to America on the Road. Jack Nerad with you, along with guest host Gino Effler. We're so glad he's with us. He is the Director of Corporate Communications at J.D. Power. And it just so happens we have a brand new, hot off the presses, J.D. Power study, the 2021 Customer Service Index study to talk about. Let's dive into that. Tell us a bit about what that is, Gino.
Sure. The this is one of the oldest studies at J.D. Power, and we connect with, I think it's more than 60,000 verified owners of vehicles that are between model years 2018 and 2020. So up to three-year-old vehicles, and we survey these owners on their service experience at the dealership, and are they taking it to a dealership? Are they taking it to an independent shop? That kind of thing. And this year, looking back at the previous year's activity, so to speak, is that even in that midst of that pandemic, when we know that people drove fewer miles, they had fewer service visits, but didn't go into the dealerships as often, perhaps, as they might have. I think dealer service visits were down about 6%. But overall satisfaction with people taking their vehicles into dealership for service went up 10 points from 837 to 847. That's on a 1,000-point scale. So that's a very good sign for dealers in their service business, that even though people weren't coming in as much, they were taking care of those customers, fixing it right the first time, picking up or keeping the customer informed as to the progress of the service. That's very, very important. And you know, for the most part, they're easy things to do, but sometimes dealerships fall down in those areas. But the fact that overall satisfaction was up by 10 points, very strong for the dealership community.
Absolutely. I mean, two really interesting things jumped out at me from what you just said. One, that service business was off 6%. I would have guessed it'd probably be off much more than 6% because so many people were locked down and just unable to go out, and so many businesses were shut. So it's interesting that it was only down 6%. But then here's a question I have for you, too. Do you think there is anything to the fact that because service business was down, people were treated even better by the people doing the service? They were happier to see them. They were just welcoming anybody who was coming in the door in the midst of a pandemic. What's your take on that?
I think that's part of it. Now, the cynical side of an observer might say, well, gee, if there are going to be fewer service visits, in order for us to recapture the service revenue of our dealership, we're going to have to start either charging more or pushing these people to do more service on their vehicles than maybe they don't need right now. Maybe they'll need it later, but we're going to push. We got to drive the service. But I don't think dealers took that approach, and customers didn't feel that pressure, because when they do feel that pressure, satisfaction drops. You know, it just drops like a rock. People don't like to be pressured into having work done on their car. So I think that overall, the dealer body, Car Dealers in America, did a very good job of saying, you know what, we understand these people, you know, many of them have lost a job or are making less money, and they need to get their car serviced. So let's do what needs to be done. Let's help them out. Let's be super conscientious, because when we get out of this pandemic scenario and this stay-at-home scenario, we want to build brand loyalty and have these people come back, not only get their car serviced here, but potentially buy their next car here. So I think dealers were extremely sensitive to that fact in the past year, and it paid off. And that's a really positive thing. I also think, Jack, you know, when you look at the results, we break the results down into two segments, the premium brand segment and the mass market brand segment. And on the premium side, Porsche ranked highest with 899 points out of 1,000, followed by Lexus. Lexus was tops in 2020. And after Lexus came Infiniti, and then Cadillac and Lincoln. So those five were all above industry average in the premium segment. And that speaks, you know, that's a big plus and a big shout out to the dealers of those brands in the way that, the OEM supports those dealers. On the mass market side, Mini ranked highest at 864. And they were followed by Buick, Mitsubishi, GMC, Kia, and there were five other brands that were above the segment average in mass market. So I think, you know, mass market dealers or consumers typically are a little bit less satisfied, but the fact that so many of them, 10 of them, were above the segment average, again, that's a very big, strong statement for dealers, for mass market brand dealers.
Right. And it's a good reason to consider a brand like, say, Mitsubishi, that a lot of people are not necessarily considering these days, because it seems like they do a really good job of servicing the vehicles of people who buy them. So that's very cool. There's another thing that kind of jumped out at me, and it's about battery electric vehicle owners and their satisfaction with service. You want to dive into that a little bit? I found that pretty fascinating.
Yeah, they are typically less satisfied with their service experience than owners of internal combustion engines. Really interesting. I think in this study, their overall satisfaction is 69 points lower than the average customer and 76 points lower for service quality. I think it our practice lead said it very well. He said, BEV owners, battery electric vehicle owners, present a unique challenge. Not only are their vehicles more difficult to service than traditional internal combustion engine vehicles, but also the lower frequency of visits mean dealers have fewer chances to make a positive impression on these customers. And I think the other thing to look at now, while dealership technicians have received training on battery electric vehicles, and they're skilled technicians, I'm just going to say that their overall knowledge, their years of experience with battery electric vehicles doesn't compare to their years of experience working on internal combustion engine systems, and the electronics that are related to that. So I think while those kind of technicians who work on EVs are skilled, they don't have the breadth of experience of even themselves on the ICE side of the business.
Well, then it makes heck of a lot of sense what you say.
And last point. So, even with fewer visits, with service being much more intermittent with EVs, they don't have the volume of opportunity to practice and do those repetitive service engagements and build up that experience. So, it's a learning curve, but there's a little bit of lower satisfaction with EV owners when it comes to service.
Right. And as you know, I think a lot of people buy battery electric vehicles believing that they will have far less opportunity for service. They won't need nearly as much maintenance and service. And maybe when they have to go into the dealership to get it, they're a little ticked off about that. I don't know, but it's a possibility.
So yeah, it's and it's going to be interesting to follow this trend, the glide path or the takeoff path, you might say, of EV sales with so many new models coming out in the next year and a half. Not only do the manufacturers have to focus a lot more effort on educating consumers to the benefits of EVs and the way to live with an EV and charging it and et cetera, it's there's just a lot of logistics that are going to go into this whole equation of more and more people getting into EVs. And then the service and maintenance, the maintenance elements and the repair elements, that's going to all play a part as well. And how utilities play into this thing, there's a lot of moving parts, aren't there?
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be fascinating to track that. And we're going to do that right here on America on the Road. In the next segment, we're going to be looking at one of the hottest cars on the market, one of the hottest cars that's ever been on the market, as a matter of fact. I was driving the 2021 Dodge Charger SRT Hellcat Red Eye. Just amazing amount of horsepower, nearly 800 horsepower. Gino of J.D. Power will have kind of a behind-the-scenes look at how that car and other cars in its segment fare from an owner's point of view. So stay with us for that. With Gino Effler, this is Jack Nerad with you, and you're with us right here on America on the Road. Welcome back, everybody, to America on the Road. Jack Nerad back with you, along with guest host Gino Effler. Thanks so much for being with us, Gino. We do appreciate that. And we're going to tap into your expertise again in this segment. It is the road test segment, a very exciting segment for us always on America on the Road, and made more exciting by the fact that I had this bright red 2021 Dodge Charger SRT Hellcat Red Eye with amazing amounts of horsepower. So I'm going to dive into talking about that. But do you have a quick comment about these high horsepower vehicles that we're seeing in the marketplace these days, Gino, before I get into that?
Yeah, I think it's they do a great job of filling a niche for those type of customers. The customers that are looking for something like that, that they do an excellent job of fulfilling the dreams or expectations of those kind of owners. We do a study called the Automotive Performance Execution and Layout, or APEAL study, that basically is about the things that people like about their car. You know, don't tell us about the, we're not asking about the problems. We're asking about the things you like. And in the mass market segment, Dodge ranked highest in 2020, Ram ranked second. So that tells me a lot about Dodge products fulfilling the expectations of their owners. And when it comes to things like, you know, the Challenger, the Charger, it's like, yeah, that's exactly the kind of car that that those buyers or those shoppers are looking for. And it brings, you know, joy to their face, joy to their hearts, you know,
Right. And I think it elevates the whole model line,
it
too.
It sure does.
A vehicle like this that, you know, just has incredible bragging rights. I mean, this is really beyond anybody's expectations, I would think. I mean, it has a 797 horsepower. Yes, I said that right. 797 horsepower V8 engine, a top speed of 203 miles per hour. This is a four-door family sedan.
Unbelievable.
3 miles per hour. Yeah. You know, 707 pound-feet of torque. It's just a mind blower. And having driven it for a week, you know, I drove it earlier on this past fall. I drove it in Carolina. I was on the racetrack with it for a while. I spent a lot of time with it. What is most eye-opening to me always is driving this vehicle on the street as you would drive a regular car. Because in the old days, when you were driving a car with, I drove nothing that had 800 horsepower, I could tell you that in my Motor Trend days, but when I was driving high horsepower cars, really high horsepower cars, and in those days we were talking about something that maybe had 450 horsepower, something like that, mm-hmm. they would beat the heck out of you. You know,
yes.
You just were not happy about a lot of the driving experience. You were happy about the power. You might even be happy about the handling, but you weren't happy about the ride. You weren't happy about just the drivability of the vehicle. A lot of times they had really lumpy idles. They did all kinds of weird stuff, right?
Yep.
This is just a sweetheart, a pussycat, most of the time. If you're just going off to the grocery store to, you know, pick up a six-pack or something, no problem at all. But then you step on it, you got 800 horsepower under your right foot. It's just... it's a mind blower. It really is a mind blower how it has this dual personality.
Last year, combined with that APEAL study when they ranked highest, Dodge also ranked highest along with Kia in the initial quality study, J.D. Power's initial quality study, which measures the problems that people have in the first 90 days of ownership. They were the lowest. They had the fewest amount of problems per 100 vehicles. And those two things were the impetus for the new Dodge commercial that you've seen in, first they I think they released it on YouTube or on social media channels. And now you're seeing it on TV, but it stars Gary Cole, who played the father in Talladega Nights with Will Ferrell. And you know, he has the two kids driving those cars, those Dodge cars, and then they end it with, if you're not first, you're last. And, you know, they finish first in these two J.D. Power studies. So it was that's one of the classic lines of you know, moviedom as it relates to cars. If you're not first, you're last.
Absolutely.
and so Dodge had great tongue-in-cheek commercial, great humor with it. And, you know, like you said, here's a car that has incredible performance, yet you can drive it comfortably, whereas you couldn't do that with the exotics of the past or some of those very high horsepower cars of the past.
Right. And those cars, obviously, I think it's obvious, had really lousy quality often.
Yes.
You know, their initial quality just wasn't very good, partly because the vehicles were so temperamental. And that's another thing about this is they're able to get close to 800 horsepower out of this engine, seemingly with great reliability, certainly with great dependability. The 0 to 60 mile per hour acceleration is 3.6 seconds. I mean, that's a mind blower. Absolutely a mind blower. It's just I'm almost in awe of this car in so many ways. You know, there it is, you know, out front of my house, and
How much attention getting? How much of a factor of the attention getting factor did it have, Jack?
Well, this one's bright red, and you don't see red cars that much anymore. So I think that's part of it. But it is a big time attention getter, and some of that comes from the body style too. It has the quote unquote wide body exterior. It has fender flares because it has really wide wheels. 305 35 ZR20 P0 Pirelli performance tires, is Bilstein shocks, adaptive damping, suspension, all of this stuff that a proper car should have. That's another thing about this vehicle. Back in the old days, muscle cars went great in a straight line. They didn't turn for beans. you didn't want to go on a road course in those things.
Right.
But in the new Charger SRT Hellcat Red Eye, they're track ready. I mean, you can go out on the track and have a great time, and you can turn left and turn right, and it'll go right with you, and it'll go where it points, as opposed to, you know, just trying to go in a straight line with its live axle rear end fighting you every bit of the way. This is a much more sophisticated vehicle than that.
I wonder if the last part of the name there, the red eye, are they trying to tell you should only drive it from 11 p.m. to 5 a.m. to avoid the attention of the popos, or what are they saying with the red eye?
Maybe so. I mean, nothing much good happens at those times,
no.
Right? But maybe driving one of these vehicles is one of them. It's just an incredible bit of performance, and it's not really all that expensive based on what it brings to the party. Of course, it has styling to go along with its big engine. It has all kinds of wheel choices because you probably want your own personalized kind of wheels on this thing, along with those tires we just talked about. You know, 20-inch by 11-inch wheels are optional on this thing. So think of that. 220 mile per hour speedometer. And that's not too far-fetched if the thing will go 203 miles an hour. It's just...
When you were driving it, in you know, your first day and you're driving around, or second day, and I'm sure you say, gee, this would be fun on a blank track. Would you like to take it first to a road course track or to a drag strip? Where would you first...
You know, that is such a great question. I always felt a little more comfortable on a drag strip than on a road course, I guess because I grew up in the Midwest and everything's on a grid. You really didn't have any curves to drive around back there. So, you know, a lot of us do drag racing back in the Midwest. And there's something really enjoyable about, you know, quick reaction time, getting on the gas as hard as you can and just going as fast as you can, just burying that foot and keeping it down.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe shifting gears, but that is not required from this 8-speed automatic transmission that shifts gears better than I do. But I would be equally comfortable, and I was equally comfortable on the road course because, you know, it frankly turns in G-forces that are almost beyond what my body can stand. And, you know, that's largely a good thing, but it's pretty amazing all the way around.
Yeah, good.
So I hate to gush about a car, but in this particular instance, I really have to. The 2021 Dodge Charger SRT Hellcat Widebody. One thing I might complain about it is how long the name is. But other than that, you know, this is an incredible value and just an awesome car all the way around. So we have that to have dealt with. And I'm going to be very sad when I have to give it back, which is going to happen probably in about 48 hours or so.
Mm-hmm.
I intend to give them back a whole car just like I got it.
Excellent. That's a good thing, Jack.
Absolutely. Well, when we come back, we will be doing our interview with Raghu Iyengar of Volkswagen, talking about certified pre-owned cars and the value that they offer. He's with Volkswagen, so stay with us for that. With Gino Effler, this is Jack Nerad with you, and you're with us right here on America on the Road. Welcome back, everybody, to America on the Road. Jack DeRad back with you, and we're so happy you're with us. We really do appreciate it. We have a great guest for you, just a terrific guest, very knowledgeable guy. Raghu Iyengar is the director of CPO and remarketing at Volkswagen of America. Raghu, thanks so much for being with us. We appreciate it.
Jack, thank you very much. Thank you for having me on your show today. I've thoroughly enjoyed listening to your past podcasts. And I'm super excited to talk to you today. I'm even more excited to talk to you that this is indeed the very first episode of America on the Road on Certified Pre-Owned.
Yeah, I think it probably is. And, you know, this is the perfect time for it, isn't it? Talk a bit about would you?
It absolutely is. With the pandemic and the economy where it is today, the topic of used cars, particularly CPO cars, couldn't be more relevant and useful for your listeners.
And tell us why. I mean, let's describe and define what CPO cars are to begin with. CPO, of course, stands for Certified Pre-Owned, maybe a gentler word for the word used. But the important part is certified. Let's talk a bit about what that means.
Perfect. So, you know, I would turn the question to why should a car buyer consider a CPO vehicle, right? What is in certification? In my mind, simple. It's confidence. It's the confidence that the car went through a rigorous 100-plus point inspection, the inspection completed by a trained technician who is certified to work on that car, confidence that the car was reconditioned to strict standards, and that campaigns, if any, were completely closed prior to letting the driver drive the car off the dealer's lot. Confidence that comes from the transparency that the dealer offers a detailed vehicle history information, say from Carfax, and confidence that the car is also backed by a limited warranty from Volkswagen, not an insurance company that's looking for ways to avoid paying you when you critically need that service. And then the confidence that you could take your car during your ownership to any Volkswagen dealer across the nation for support. On top of that, Jack, we also have a 24-hour complimentary roadside assistance program for the first 2 years of your CPO ownership that covers for any emergency that you might have, a flat tire, a dead battery, a jump start, a lockout, any of that. And finally, I would say the certified program itself attracts special financing. Right now, we have a 0.99 APR special on our Tiguan, which is the fastest moving hot ASUV car in our segment.
It makes just so much sense. And I wrote the book, The Complete Idiot's Guide to Buying or Leasing a Car. In fact, it's right here at my desk. I'm staring at the cover right here. And, from that day on, and that was a long time ago now, I've sung the praises of CPO, Certified Pre-Owned, and for the peace of mind they offer and for the value they offer. You've talked quite a bit about peace of mind because you're backed up by something where if you buy a used car, you're buying something essentially as is. As you drive it off, you're responsible for anything that goes wrong from that point going forward. Whereas you can buy a vehicle that is, as you say, heavily inspected by a mechanic, a technician that is certified in that kind of vehicle, that really understands that vehicle, and then it's backed up with warranty coverage. I mean, my oldest daughter happens to have a Volkswagen Jetta that we bought as a certified pre-owned car. Oh, what a coincidence. I didn't even realize that until I'm in the midst of the interview here. And actually, the CPO warranty terms, I think, outdid those on the new vehicle. It was just an absolute no-brainer to buy that vehicle. Tell us a bit about the value that CPO offers.
From my perspective, the only way to buy a car is a CPO. Only way to buy a used car is through the CPO program. As I mentioned, you know, we can rattle off every factor that goes into it. You know, from a CPO perspective, you might find me a little bit biased, right? But, you know, the Volkswagen program has been designed to keep exceptional customer value and the highest customer confidence in buying and owning a Volkswagen CPO. Let's just take an example. Most of the CPOs today are your three-year-old off-lease cars. And typically, you walk into a dealership, you would find an 18, you know, model year 18 or early model year 19s. At Volkswagen, the 18s and 19s come with a six-year, 72,000-mile bumper-to-bumper new car warranty, excluding the e-Golfs, of course. Now, if you were to buy that car as a CPO, on top of the manufacturer warranty, you would get an additional year of a comprehensive CPO warranty for 1 year and 12,000 miles, whichever comes first. For the 17s and older, and the 20s and 21s, we offer a two-year 24,000-mile comprehensive CPO warranty on top of the remainder of the new car warranty. That's point number one. Point number two, we already spoke about the factory-trained technician. We spoke about the nationwide coverage. But the biggest thing is knowing that your car was never damaged in a flood. Your car never had a branded title. Your car was never involved in a major crash where the airbags were deployed. Adds to the peace of mind. And it's that confidence, Jack, that, you know, helps us put our sons or daughters behind the wheel of a certified pre-owned car.
Absolutely. It just makes so much sense. And a lot of people push back and they say, well, I don't want to drive a used car. And I tell them, you're driving a used car right now. You might have purchased it new, but it's used. And, you know, the second miles are put on it, that's a used vehicle. And talk a bit about how well-built cars are these days and, you know, how much useful life remains in a CPO vehicle, a vehicle that's purchased with maybe 3 years behind it, of history behind it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That is a wonderful question. The cars these days are built to last. Every car manufacturers have upped their game in quality. The three-year-old car is you know, it's practically a new car. On top of which, once the car goes through the reconditioning process, the rigorous testing that we do, and all the reconditioning that our Volkswagen dealers do, the car is practically new. On top of it, you know, I would challenge our listeners, to compare the warranty against a used car that they buy from a third party or from a non-certified source. There is always a challenge with the quality. You're not sure if the car was ever involved in a major accident. Here, buying CPO, to me, is a no-brainer.
Absolutely. And you point out something, Raghu, that I think is really important. And it is, what entity is certifying the car, right? I mean, the term certified is kind of loosely used in the auto industry, and it's applied to a lot of different things. And you or I, as individuals, could potentially certify a car. I could sell a used car and say, okay, I'm certifying this. And, you know, yes. Because I'm an honest guy, my word would be my bond. But I'm not sure everybody is in the same situation, right, or every entity. So paying attention to that is very important. Talk a bit about that, would you?
Awesome. Much like everything else, the devil's in the detail, isn't it? And yes, not all certified programs are the same. You know, when people ask me, I tell them, look, start by comparing the warranty. What does it cover? Is it a comprehensive coverage, or does it only cover powertrain? Does the manufacturer add any CPO warranty coverage on top of the remaining new car warranty? I've seen some manufacturers, all they do is extend the original new car warranty to the second and the third owner. Then on top of that, you have these new startups. They also certify their cars. And the last I checked, their warranty typically lasts for 4 months or 4,000 miles. Nothing that stacks up to the Volkswagen CPO program. And I walked you through an example of a model year 18. With the six-year, 72,000-mile bumper-to-bumper warranty and the additional one-year, 12,000-mile comprehensive CPO coverage, that's peace of mind for 7 years and 84,000 miles, whichever comes first. That, to me, is an incredible value for a CPO customer getting into a 3- or 4-year-old car.
Absolutely. A really amazing value. And in some ways, it outdoes a new car warranty and the coverage that's available there. So like I say, a no-brainer. Talk a bit. There is a difference in price typically between a CPO vehicle of a particular year and just a used car. A little bit of a premium, I think, to get that CPO coverage. Tell our listeners about that a little bit.
There is, you know, with the peace of mind, with the confidence, with the fact that a factory trained technician looked your car from top to bottom, fixed all the issues. And when you're driving that car off the dealer's lot, you know, you can confidently, you know, have your child and your family in that car. That confidence takes a little bit of effort and work. But, you know, in some cases, it does translate to a slightly more price. It's a fact of life. A good quality deserves a better price. But, you know, I would challenge anybody to walk up to a Volkswagen dealer, look at a CPO car on their lot, have a honest discussion with the Volkswagen dealer, and I'm sure they would find that the price that they pay is very much in line with the quality of the product that they are buying.
Absolutely, and certainly that peace of mind, it has value to it, and I think you're probably getting more value in terms of peace of mind than the dollar you're spending on it. Another thing I think in favor of CPO cars these days is the fact that vehicles don't change all that much year to year. I mean, certainly there are major vehicle changes maybe every 4, 5, 6 years, depending on the product cycle of a various car or various car model. But you can buy a 3-year-old car and it'll look exactly like a brand new car. Your neighbors will think you have a brand new car. Explore that a little bit, would you?
Absolutely, absolutely. So, you know, through our research, the main thing that we have found out that's the difference between a new car customer and a CPO customer is that the new car customer has a lot of wants and the CPO customer has a lot of needs. But, you know, and the CPO customer has a certain budget where they want to spend for their car, monthly payment, including insurance and gas. What an ideal way to walk into a Volkswagen dealership, look for a car that meets your budget, and also ensures that you have the peace of mind of maintenance and coverage from the from the reconditioning work that's already been done. Now let's look at as you were saying, a 3-year-old car. The 3-year-old car these days have the hottest feature in Apple Connect or Android CarPlay, right? That's perhaps the most important feature that every one of us look for in a car these days. And as you rightfully said, the cars and the features are not changing as quickly as they do. So you are practically driving a near new car for much less than what your neighbor paid for that spanking new car on the driveway.
Right. And they'll never know that you didn't buy a brand new car unless you tell them how smart you were to buy a CPO car and save those thousands and thousands of dollars. How does a person, let's say they want a Volkswagen model, for example, good ones to look at, certainly. They want a Tiguan or they want a Jetta or a Golf, you name it. How do they find a CPO car that's going to meet their needs, that's going to have the equipment and maybe even the color and stuff that they want? How do they go about doing that?
From the comfort of their home while listening to this podcast, I would urge your listeners to visit vwcpo.com, right? We have the latest inventory aggregated from our nationwide network of 635 dealers. High quality photos, has all the details that they want. I would highly, highly recommend that they also visit their local VW dealer and discuss their needs with the dealer. I guarantee that your listeners will be happy with their buying experience. More so, they will be delighted with their CPO ownership experience by working closely with the Volkswagen dealer.
Is it a good idea to say, call your local Volkswagen dealer and say, I'm looking for a name the model, maybe give them some ideas of equipment. Will they have an idea of what would be coming back to them or what they will be able to sell that customer over the course of the next, say, month or two?
That is a wonderful question, Jack. You know, people ask me, so if CPO is so good, what are the pitfalls? What are the drawbacks to CPO, right? So, you know, the one thing that the main thing that we're talking about is the supply of used cars, right? There is no factory in the world that makes used cars. Every factory makes new cars. And then these new cars, after its lease cycle, after its first ownership cycle, then cycles back and becomes a used car. And the select used car then becomes a CPO. So if a listener, as you mentioned, has a specific vehicle in mind, say a red Beetle convertible or a GTI, it may not be available in the national inventory, but our dealers can start looking at their off-lease portfolio, try to see if there is a car that's on its way back within the next couple of months, tag that car. Now, if that car is not available within their customer base, we have the methodology where the dealer can look across the entire network, notify the listeners when their car is available, and they should absolutely be able to go through with the dream car purchase at the dealership.
Yeah, so with a little bit of planning and cooperation with your local Volkswagen dealer, you can score a really great deal on almost exactly what you want, I would think, if you just have maybe a few weeks to give on this thing.
Absolutely, absolutely. I have a funny story to share. In the peak of the pandemic, and she is from New York, the customer, she was on her fourth Beetle. And for her daughter, she was looking for a specific color, a specific model Beetle.
Uh-huh. Was it John, Paul, George, or Ringo?
Neither one of them. It was a 2018 Beetle convertible that she was looking for.
Got it.
And we were able to locate it for her. You know, she was from upstate New York. We connected her with a dealer in the middle of the country, and we were able to deliver the car to her home, and she couldn't be more delighted than she was when she delivered that car to her daughter for her birthday.
That's an awesome story. Just quickly before we let you go, and I want to be careful of your time, Raghu. We're talking with Raghu Iyengar, who is the director of CPO and remarketing at Volkswagen of America. Tell our listeners why Volkswagen cares about this, why Volkswagen has certified pre-owned cars, why they run such a program. You know, what's in it for Volkswagen?
Well, thank you for asking that question. What's in it for Volkswagen? We are a 2.5% market share player in the country. The cars that we make get to, as I mentioned, 2.5% of the segment of the U.S. population. The second car ownership gets us a brand new set of customers that we can introduce to our brands. The CPO car is an excellent opportunity for new customers, young customers, to test our brand, get excited about our products. And this gives us and our dealers an opportunity to delight that customer and keep them with our brand and with our brand of products.
Yeah, it just makes so much sense. Well, Raghu Iyengar, Director of CPO and Remarketing at Volkswagen of America, thanks so much for being with us. We sure do appreciate it. I think we can talk about this for a lot longer, but time constraints in radio, you know how that is. We appreciate you being with us.
Jack, thank you very much for the time. As you can hear through my voice, I am totally stoked about CPO. I'm totally stoked about getting more customers in the CPO into the Volkswagen dealers. We appreciate the opportunity for presenting our excitement about the product with your listeners.
And share that website where they can go to check out Volkswagen CPOs one more time, please.
It is vwcpo.com. Go there, search for the national inventory, and call your local Volkswagen dealer. They'll help you get you behind the wheels of a wonderful certified Volkswagen product.
Terrific. So good to talk to you, and I hope to be able to do that again. So you take care, and stay with us, everybody. We'll be right back. And that was our interview with Raghu Iyengar, who is the Director of CPO and Remarketing for Volkswagen of America. Really interesting stuff, I think, he presented to us. And I think he made a really good case for buying a certified pre-owned car. I've certainly done that for one of my daughters, and it was an excellent choice. I would absolutely do it again. So there is that. I also have to thank Gino Effler, our co-host this week, for being with us. He, of course, is the Director of Corporate Communications at J.D. Power. Gino, thanks for sharing all your information and expertise with us today. We appreciate it.
Jack, my pleasure to be with you as always. And, you know, next time you get a car like that Dodge Charger, you make sure to give me a call a little bit earlier in the week before you turn it in, okay?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll have to drive out to the desert. We can blast around out there where there are probably fewer paparazzi and policia than there are here in the here in the South Bay. So we'll look for that. And we want to thank you so much for being with us on America on the Road. We really do appreciate that. You listeners are the reason we do what we do. And of course, if you want to take a look for my book, The GR Factor, Unleashing the Undeniable Power of the Golden Rule, please take a look for that. And join us again next week right here for another edition of America on the Road. If you're looking to save some money, you should switch to Mercury for your auto and home insurance. Californians save an average of $670 with Mercury, so imagine how much you could save. Get a quote today at mercuryinsurance.com.